daven Ne'ilah, everyone knows Ne'ilah is different. Ne'ilah is a different nusach. Mishmona Esrei, when you come to Shmona Esrei, Okay, if you turn to Ne'ilah, there are a few striking things that are very different about Ne'ilah. Number one, you don't say the Al-Chaitz. You ever notice that? Come to end in the Ilah, it's like, oh, you get a break. Ah, Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, you say Vidui, Vidui, and then you say, Kishnevet Rishanu, Shechastia, you say Vidui, you do say Vidui, Sarnu, Mimitzvah Secha, and that's it. What about Al-Chei, Shechotel Fanecha, Bo'inis of Rotzain? There's a whole long list. The Gansa long list of there are how many parts are there? There is 1, 2, 3. There are really three parts. There are three parts. We say the Al Kulam Eloka Slicho Slachlanu Mchalanu Kaperlanu. Now, by the way, why do we do it three times? Everything is done with the utmost precision. Why can't we just say all of the Al Chaitz in one shot? In one shot, and we get to the end, we'll say one time the Al Kulam Eloka Slicho Slachlanu Mchalanu Kaperlanu. Why do we have to break up the Al-Chaitz into three different sections? The truth is, there are four sections. The last section is a little bit different. The Al-Chato'im she'anu chayavim aleihem oila. The Al-Chato'im she'anu chayavim aleihem chatos. But in that section, we did not say the Al-Kulam Elokai Slicho Slachlan Mechalim Kaperlanu. Why three sections? I don't know. I don't have a really satisfying answer. I mean, the obvious answer is to break it up. It's too much. It's too much to handle in one shot. You have to have, it has to be when you daven, you have to, the chazan has to finish off to keep everyone up to pace. Okay, so you can say very balabatasha answers. The reason why we break it up in three parts is just because you want to have an order to the davening. You want to be able, there should be, the chazan and the tzibur, we daven together. There's a leader, there are followers. If everyone's just going to say everything to themselves, Then no one's going to say anything. This way, we break it up into three parts. Okay, that's a balabatish answer. Okay, another answer, which is a little bit better, but it's not really very satisfying, is that when it comes to this, there's a whole Shulchan Aruch, how to ask mechila from your friend. If a person, chas v'sholem, caused his friend tsar, he has an obligation to go to his friend and say, I'm sorry, I caused you harm, I ask you forgiveness. And it's not so uncommon for the person, when he hears that his friend comes and says that he's sorry, he's shell-shocked. And he right away goes on the defensive. No, I'm not forgiving you. It's almost to be, it's almost to be expected. Now, let's take a step back. We think that there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that if your friend does not forgive you, so you go back and ask him a second time. And if after a second time he still does not forgive you, you go back and you ask him mechila a third time. And that's it. You only ask a person mechila three times. You don't ask him more than three times. After three times, he doesn't want to forgive. Adkan. At least not this year. Adkan. You only ask up to three times. So why? So what would you say simply? You got to do your shtadlos. You do the best that you can. You go the first time, second time, third time, okay, but I think on a deeper level, you cannot expect the person, it's not a matter, you're really only asking him mechila one time, but it's unrealistic for a person to forgive the first time, because it's unexpected. You go over to a person, and you say to him, I'm sorry, do you forgive me? It's human nature. What? I didn't expect this. I'm not ready for this. A person has in their heart a grudge. it's not, you can't expect the person immediately to forgive. You're really only asking the person mechila one time. There's a process. The process is you show your sincerity three times. And then the person now is in a proper frame of mind to make a conscious decision if he wants to forgive you. For example, the Akedah. What was the Akedah? How many days later was the Akedah? 3 days. It took Avraham Avinu 3 days to reach the destination of the Akedah. Why? Why couldn't Hashem say, Avraham, I want to give you the mitzvah of the Akedah. I want you to do it right now. Right now, take your child and offer him on an altar. Why did Hashem tell him to do it over a 3 day period of time? So everyone knows the answer. It could be Rashi and Chumash as the answer, because Avraham, because if he would do it right away, he would be instead of shock. That it's not a fear conscious decision for a person to slaughter, to tell a person to do something without thinking about it. A human being is a human being, and he needs time to think, reflect, and make a thoughtful decision. So Hashem says, Avram, I'm telling you about the Akedah. Think about it. 3 days. 3 days to let it settle in and think. You don't do anything, any big decision, quickly. You have to be very careful. So it's the same thing. When you ask a person forgiveness, what, you out of the blue, you go over to a person who you've caused real pain, and you just say to him, do you forgive me? We're not talking about petty things. Let's talk about, significant things. Okay, talk about, significant things. So in a person's mind, you've already given up. Like this guy will never ask me mechila. I hate this guy. I let him go. Let him go rot in Gehenna. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he shows up and he says, do you forgive me? So human nature, what? What did he just say? You Russia, get lost. The person who asks mechila cannot expect to get mechila unless they ask three times. We commonly look at the halacha that you have to ask your friend mechila three times as the other way around. If I humble myself to ask you mechila, it is expected that you should give me mechila immediately. So who's the nice guy? I'm the tzaddik. I'm going to ask mechila a second time. I'm going to ask a third time. I'm the good guy, and you're the bad guy. Who says that's correct? When you ask mechila the first time, a person that he's such a balgaiva to think that he should get mechila the first shot? Ridiculous. Part of the process of you got to ask three times. So it's very interesting that in the Nusach HaTfilah on Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, Mincha, and the whole Yom Kippur, we ask Hashem Mechila three times. We write the Al Kulam Eloka Aslicha Slach Lanu Mechal Lanu Kaper Lanu. We ask and we break it up into three different segments. Just like when it comes to a human being, we ask a person Mechila three times, so too. When we ask Hashem forgiveness, we ask Hashem forgiveness three times. Because the way Hashem does not expect us to deal with Hashem different than we deal with a human being. And the human being in Shulchan Aruch is supposed to ask three times. And don't make a mistake and think the reason why we ask three times is because we're being machmir. We're not being machmir. It's human nature. You can't expect another person to suddenly forgive you unless you give them the opportunity to reflect and think about it. And then after three times, they can make a responsible decision, should I really forgive this person? So too, when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we say, we break up the Al Chato'im into three parts. And in between each part, we say, Slach Lanu, Mechal Lanu, Kaper Lanu. We don't just say all of the Al-Chaitz in one shot. We break up the Al-Chaitz into three parts so we can ask Hashem forgiveness three times, no different than the halacha of how we ask one another forgiveness. Okay, so that's two mahalchim. two mahalchim as to why we say this line three times. We break up the alchets three times. Either simply it's just a technique in the nusach atfila to keep the chazon and the tzibor in sync. Because if you say too much, then you get lost. Then, you know, the chazon does his thing, you do your thing. There's no longer a cohesive group davening before Hashem. So we break it up into three parts in order to keep the flow, to keep everyone together. Or if we want to see something deeper, it's pattern after what it says in Shulchan Aruch, that when it comes to asking mechila from your fellow men, you have to ask him three times. And as we explained, it means, because that's the process. It's natural for a person to resist the first and second time. You have to let it sink into the person from whom you're asking mechila, so that on the third time, he'll be able to make a sincere, conscious decision if he wants to grant forgiveness. So too, when it comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we do the same exact thing. We break it into three parts to ask the mechila. Now, with that said, question, why is it then that when it comes to Ni'ilah, we don't do this? In Ni'ilah, we skip the whole thing. When we come to Ni'ilah, we get a break. We're very, very tired. And we don't say this. We say, Ashamnu, Boganu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu, Dofi, Havinu. And that's it. What a mechaya. You don't have to say the alchets. I always have such hanah. Eschato. I animaskir hayom. We get an ilah. Ah, Baruch Hashem. We don't got to go through this again. We don't have to go through all the alchets. Mayor, what about you? Do you also feel that sigh of relief when you get to the ilah, that you don't have to say all the alchets? Are you like me? Like, ah, Baruch Hashem, we can get moving over here. Okay, what I'm saying is not nice, but you know, I'm only human. I'm tired, hungry, it's a long day. You don't say.
I say Al-Khayt for some other guy.
You say what? What do you say?
I say Al-Khayt for everybody else.
For everyone else, but there's no Al-Khayt in the Siddur.
I mean, I'm just clapping, man.
When you come to Ni'ilah, there's no Al-Khayt. You skip the whole thing. Why? Why do you skip the whole thing?
By that time, you are at the cleans.
You're clean? Okay, now you're saying another very interesting thing. He says over here something very, very fascinating. Rabbi Ashkenazi, look what he says. He says, why, Taka, do you have to say the Al-Khayt so many times? I'll give you a joke. A joke. Rabbi Rakefet. He says, you know, he says, he doesn't know that he davens Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Ashkenaz, you never say Oshamnu. You never say it. You never say, you only say Hashem on a tiny tzibur. Nusach Svar says it every single day. Shachris and Mincha. Alchei, Hashem, the Bagan, the Gozal, the Bagdofi. Okay, you say it every single day, twice a day, you say Vidur. Nusach Ashkenaz never says it. You don't say it. You say it only in a tiny tzibur and Slichas. You know, during Aser Simei Teshuvah. So what's the pshat? So people tell you that by no ash. So if you want it, so you'll say because it's not good to say it too often. If you say it too often, it has no meaning. It has no meaning. Don't you know? Save it. If you cry fire every time, you know, then it's not gonna have any meaning. So therefore, you say only very special occasions. Okay. If you want to make a joke. What's going on over here, man? What's all this noise? Okay, and now if you want to make a joke about this, you'll say that the Ashkenazim, they don't do Avera, so they don't need to say it. But the Hasidim, they're always doing Avera, so they have to say it all the time. So Rabbi Kefet, he was like joking around, and he said once, says, I don't understand, I daven in the shtibul, I'm not from this Olam here, I'm a Nusach Ashkenaz, but I have no choice, I have to go daven, and the locust shul is a shtibul. And I see there the Hasidim, they go Al-Khay, Shachatan, they bang away. Then I go home, I go give my shir, I come back by Mincha, Nochamo! They're saying Vidui. And I say to myself, how in the world do these guys have enough time from after Shachris to Mincha to do all of these Averis? It takes time to do Averis. How do they have time? They just said it a few hours ago. From Shachris to Minch, I don't have time. I'm so busy. I don't have a second to breathe. I have to go give the shiur, gotta talk to my students, I gotta take care of things. I don't have time to do all these averis so quickly. How do these guys have so much time on their hand between shachris and mincha every single day to do every single aver in the book? He made that joke, and he said it in a very funny way. But you know, suddenly there's a lot of truth to that, because Rabbi Ashkenazi Lubavitch, he says a davar nifla. He says, you know why you don't say al-chait? Al-chait is because it used to be in the olden days, and we still do this today, is there's no break between mincha and ne'ilah. In other words, like today, you know, today the B'nai Torah, they love to pride themselves. When we daven, there's no break. We daven the whole day straight. We start 7 o'clock, shachris, leining, musaf, mincha, ne'il. There's no hefsek, not even to go to the bathroom. If you have to go to the bathroom, so you go in the middle of davening. We go the whole day, no break. Good for you, very good. Good for you, right? Good for you. Yeah, no breaks. Good for you. Yeah, good for you. The average person goes out of their mind if they go daven from 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock at night with no break whatsoever. The person needs a break. So what do you do? So every shul is different. I think today most shuls, I don't know what really goes on. I think most shuls they daven shachris and musaf, and you go home. You have a break. Some shuls give you 3 hours, some give you 2 hours, some give you an hour. You have a break between musaf and mincha. Okay, I'm sure you'll find shuls that give you a break between shachris and musaf. They give you 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You go outside, air out your head. Some shuls, maybe they have a break, but maybe they daven musaf and mincha. It's not so unreasonable. You daven shachris, you have a break, and then you daven musaf and mincha, and then you have a break, you come back from the ne'ilah, refreshed from the ne'ilah. Okay, I don't know, you figure it out, okay? So, the problem is, if you have a break, now it would seem that they in the olden days they had a break, they didn't daven so much. They had a break between shachris and musaf, and a break between musaf and mincha. So in between the break, there's taka time to do averis. There's time to do averis. But it seems, this is what he says, there's no shul in the world, he said, in the olden days, I don't know about today, there's no break between mincha and ne'ilah. There's no break. So therefore, you don't have to say al-chait again. If you, when you come back from mincha, what did you do between musaf and mincha? I went home, and I said a lot of lashon hara. And we looked in the newspaper, and we looked at things that are not appropriate, and we did this, and we did this. Okay, so between mincha, between musaf and mincha, there was an opportunity to do a lot of bad things. Oh, it's Yom Kippur, you're a tzaddik? Ain't tzaddik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov lo yecheta. Between mincha, between musaf and mincha, you went out of shul. You know, you lost the momentum. So you know what? By mincha, say it all over again. Just like, you know, ma'arif. You go to sleep, you go home. Ma'arif, you say all the al-chaits, you go up in the morning, no, between ma'arif and shachris, the next morning is a long time. Plenty of time to get into trouble. So too, between now you'll ask me your question, what between shachris and musaf? You go to the kiddush club. There's no kiddush though on Yom Kippur. But there's also a shtickle break. There's also a little bit of a break. But between mincha and ne'ilah, this is a chiddush to say such a thing, but this is what he says, there was never a break. Mincha and ne'ilah, they go together. Now the reason why I say this is a very big chiddush is because we're in the yeshiva world, they do have a break between mincha and ne'ilah, musa. It's a very common thing in the yeshiva world, limud hamusa. You learn mus. There really is a break. You know, I know in Chaim Berlin, I davened there many, many years. So they give a break. They do give a break. They give a, you know, it depends on the year. It depends, you know, how fast the davening, you know, every year the davening is different. Sometimes the chazan goes a little faster, a little slower. The Yom Kippur ends later, it ends earlier. So there are many variables. But they generally, they give a break. How do I know this? I mean, to me, it's a little bit of a joke, because when they give a break before Ne'ilah, when I used to daven there back in the day, so there were about 1,000 men who davened. They had 1,500 people, 500 women, 1,000 men, and they gave a break before Ne'ilah, and every single person went to the bathroom before Ne'ilah. Now, there are not 1,000 bathrooms in the yeshiva, so it was a problem. It was a very big problem. How do 1,000 people go to the bathroom in 15 minutes? So so there were lines to go to the bathroom. Personally, I had a trick. I knew, because I lived there my whole life, I knew where all the secret bathrooms are that no one knows about. They have a bathroom in the kitchen for the workers. In fact, they have, I think, 2 or 3 of them. I went to the kitchen. I knew how to get into the kitchen. I went to the kitchen. There was no line there. So I knew the secrets. Some people, they did nasty things. They went into the dormitory. They're not supposed to do that. Not supposed to go into the dormitory and use the bathroom of the bachim in the dormitory. Everyone did what they needed to do. But they gave a break. They gave a break. Okay, they gave a break. Over here, he writes a chiddush between Mincha and Ne'ilah, there's no break. If there's no break, you don't need to repeat the Al-Chaitz. You already said it once. If you have a hefsek, that triggers the need to say the Al-Chaitz Nochama. In the Nusach HaTzil that we have, we don't say Al-Chaitz by Ne'ilah. It's a big question, why not? So, one answer is because we already, there's no break. There's no break, there's no need to do so. Okay, that's an answer. But now I'll give you another answer. Another answer is that in Ne'ilah, we recite instead of...
I don't understand. So why do you stand by Moshe if there's no break before Moshe?
There is a break. Kriyas HaTorah. There's a hefsek. Now you'll say, but you don't leave shul. It's not a matter of leaving shul. It's a matter of the momentum. There's a certain momentum in davening. There's a momentum. I'm in the process of confessing. There's a momentum that you have. When you lain, even though you're not leaving shul and you're doing teshuvah, you're losing the momentum of al-chayt, 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 chotasi, avisi, poshati. You're losing that momentum. So when you daven musaf, nochamo, al-chayt. Then there's a real break until mincha, nochamo, al-chayt. But between mincha and ne'ilah, this is what he says. It's a chiddush nifla. There's no hefsek whatsoever. It is straight. You don't. It's a straight flow between ne'ilah, between mincha and ne'ilah, and therefore there's no need to say the al-chaitz all over again. That's answer number one as why we do not say al-chaitz. Answer number two, we replace the al-chaitz with 2 new paragraphs that are very elaborate. So that basically takes the place. It's not like we don't say the Al-Chayt. Instead, in the Ne'ilah, we recite these 2 very beautiful paragraphs. Number one is, Ata noisein yod lapoishin bimincha fishuto lekabel shoven. Vata lamadein washem lokin lizvadois lufonecha. Al kol avon osein l'man nechtal me'oyshet yodeinu. U'sekableinu b'shuvo shleimo l'fonecha ki'ichem u'chenichichim l'man devarecha. And it goes on and on and on. And then there's another paragraph. Ata hivdalta enoy shmeroish v'ata ki reyu l'amon l'fonecha ki miyom alocha ma'tifal v'im yitztak ma'yitein loch. Okay, there are these 2 very elaborate paragraphs, which if we have time, we would go through word by word. And these things we don't say. We don't say this the whole day. We have not said this the whole day. This is totally unique to Ne'ilah. So Chazal felt it would be too much. It's too much. Too much to go say all the Al-Chaitz and to say this as well. So to change. So instead we say this and we don't say the Al-Chaitz. And this in fact is even probably even more words. There are more words. It's even more elaborate. Because it's different. Al-Chayt is very repetitive. This is not repetitive. This is a lot of ideas, a lot of concepts, and if you really take it seriously, it will wipe you out. You'll be wiped out from concentrating and really absorbing everything that it says. Okay, that's two answers. Two interesting answers. It's why you don't say al chait by ne'ilah. Number one, to review, is because there is no hefsik, so you don't just repeat things again and again. And number two is because we are replacing the al chaits with these two unique paragraphs. However, Rabbi Ashkenazi, I didn't really read carefully what he said. It's very, very deep. Just want to give you like a gist of what he says. And he basically says, I mean, I'm really extrapolating a lot. Ne'ilah is different. Now let me try to elaborate this with the following insight to bring out the point. Okay, where exactly is the bracha? Let me see if I find bracha. Vatitein lanu. Okay, in vatitein lanu. Oh, here it is. Okay, now you say this in ne'ilah also. You say this the entire day, but just to bring out the point. After he's ato v'chartanu, okay, in the nusach of the Shemoneh Esrei of the Yom Kippur, ato v'chartanu, kol amim ahavto esanu v'sivanu, and then you begin vatiten lanu Hashem Elokeinu ba'ahava es yoim ha'kipurim hazeh. And now this is very interesting. What's the purpose of Yom Kippur? L'mechila v'litzlicha u'lichapora. Three things. The goal of Yom Kippur is, number one, is going to be mechila, forgiveness. There is selicha, forgiveness, and kapara, atonement. Now, each one of those words is very esoteric, very complex, very meaningful, and they're not the same. Mechila and Selicha are different. What is the difference? I don't know. I don't know what the difference is. Okay, I can start, you know, telling you some things that percolate in my mind, the things that I read other places. Everyone's going to go tell you another pshat. There are multiple dimensions of atonement. There are multiple layers of atonement. There's something called Mechila. There's something called Selicha. Something called kapara, and if we were to, work on this and open up all of the commentators on the nusach, which is very, there aren't many, by the way, there's not that many mefarshim on the nusach atvila, we can probably, if we work hard enough, come up with 10 different approaches to explain the fine points between mechila, slicha, and kapara. That's not what I'm trying to focus on now. I'm coming to focus on the next thing that it says. The limchol boy es kol avoinoy seinu mikro kodesh zeichel litzias mitzrayim. Now, wait a minute. We already said that word. This is a violation of language. We start off by saying limechila, v'leslicha u'lechapara. I told you, I don't know the difference between those three. To me, in my limited vocabulary, it's all the same. You want to go look in art scroll? Yeah, I have an art scroll. The art scroll over here says that Hashem gave us on this day a pardon, forgiveness, and atonement. As Rav Simcha Soloveitchik would say, whoopee-doo. He always would say that. He would always say that. Whoopee-doo. Thank you very much, Art Skull. You've translated the words differently. A pardon, a forgiveness, and atonement. Whoopee-doo. What's the difference between those three words? Okay, take out a dictionary and start darshaning. All right, they're probably, whatever, three things. But one thing you can't ignore, that the first item on the list was mechila. Mechila. Whatever it means. I don't know what it means. Whatever it means forgiveness. We forgive you, there's no punishment, never happened, everything is good, your slate is clean, there are no points on your license, everything is good and fine. Fine, but we use the word up, the word already has been occupied. So why then does it, the same, in the same breath, does it say again, v'limchol bo, to atone on this day, es kol avoyno yaseinu. Didn't we just say that? Literally within the same breath? Mechila, slicha, kapara. And don't forget, mechila, al kol avoyno yaseinu. What? You can't do that. You can't get away with that. Anshei knesset gdol, it's like, you know, it's like sloppy. You can't do that. If someone would write a composition, would write this in eighth grade, the teacher would say, you can't repeat the word again. If you're writing something meaningful, come up with another word. You can't go say, mechil usichavar, v'limchol boyas kol avon esem. You just said the word. It's not fair. You can't do that. It's a good question. No, it's a tough question. What's the word being used again? So Rabbi Ashkenazi, he I don't know, I read it very quickly. He has a lot of stuff there. He says some heavy stuff there. And what he seems to be saying is, there are two dimensions of atonement on Yom Kippur. There is a dimension of atonement, general. You can play with this already. A general atonement. A general. And then there's another element of the details. The devil is in the details. The focus of V'lim Cholbo is not V'lim Cholbo. The focus of this expression is Al Kol Avoyinoy Sein. First we say, Hashem, on this day you've given us a day of Mechila, Slicha, Kapara. Period. What is that? I forgive you. We're on good terms. We're on speaking terms. And then there's a whole new dimension that has a completely different world of what Yom Kippur achieves. Hashem forgives you, goes over the list, every single bad thing you've done. We're getting rid of this, getting rid of this, we're getting rid of this, we're getting rid of this. In life, there's the general, and there's the specific. Okay? There is, are you alive or dead? And then there's the quality of life. What kind of life do you have? Right? There's a person, he's alive. He's alive, he gets by, he wakes up, miracle to wake up in the morning. He goes through the day, he's independent, but he doesn't feel well. This hurts him, that hurts him. The details. The devil is in the details. And every detail of life, every element in life that affects the quality of life is due to a specific avera, a defect, a prat. V'atzvei dinim, two dinim in mechila v'yom kippurim. There's mechila, slicha kapara, and then there's a nayadin. V'limchol boy al kol avoynoy sein. Now, when we say Hashamnu, look at the vidui. Vidui has two parts. The first part of vidui is Hashamnu, bogadnu, gozalnu, dibarnu doifi. We do the first part. And then, we go through all the details. We start out with Hashamnu, the letters of the alphabet, the general. Hashem, we're bad guys. We're bad people. We did the thing. And then, by the way, Hashem, I got a long, long laundry list of sins. And we'll spell them out for you. And we'll break it up with Al Kulam Elokai Slachlan Mechalanu Kaper Lanu. We break it up into the little details. That's what we do the whole Yom Kippur. We do this Erev Yom Kippur. We do this Ma'ariv. Shachris, Musaf Mincha. Tzvei dinim. Tzvedinim. There's a general who just not with you, Hashem. And we have all the letters of the Alpes. And then we go into the details. And now you look at that Nusach. So look at the Nusach. The Nusach is, we ask you, Hashem, Ati tein lanu Hashem Elokeinu be'ahava es yoim ha-kipurim hazeh. What's the purpose of Yom Kippur? There are two purposes. Number one, l'ne'achila v'l'slicha u'l'chapara, period. That corresponds to Oshamnu, the paragraph of Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gozalnu, Dibarnu, Dofi, Hevinu, Yerushanu, Zanu, Chomasnu, Tofalnu, Sheker, Yo'atznu, Ro. The generalities, the letters of the Aleph Beis, we get out. The next part of the Vatitin Lanu is the Limchol Boy is Kol Avoinoy Seinu. Al Chet Shachatar Lufanecha Boinis of Ratzain. We now go into the details. There's no repetition here. The first three words are the generally, and then we go into the Limchol Boy, Al Kol Avoinoy Seinu. Okay, that's an incredible yisoid. Okay, Ashkenazi says, come on, that's incredible. It's a whole new perush, a whole new flavor when you read this paragraph. You read this paragraph five times. Ma'ariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha Ne'ilah. Five times. You say this nusach. You gave us, V'ahava Yom HaKippur Mazeh, number one, L'mechila L'sich V'chapara, period. And what else is this day about the general forgiveness? And number two, you forgive us for the details. We go through every single little avera and we get forgiveness. Okay, it's a whole, and that corresponds to the Oshamnu. That's the first part, and the second part is the Alchetz. Now comes the beauty of this. When you come to Ni'ilah, we're no longer focusing on the details. You know why? We're desperate. Tofasta merubo loy tofasta. Tofasta mua tofasta. There's a desperation. I mean, you can play with this however you want. However you want. But when it comes to Ni'ilah, we omit the details. Because the day is coming to an end. And maybe we shouldn't be so aggressive at this moment in time. Let's just get away with getting out alive. Now you hear these horror stories where there's a hurricane, there's an earthquake, there is a fire. So what do they tell you? Get out of the building. Run for your life. No. I need to go take with me all my jewelry. I need to go take my clothing. I need to go take my wallet. I need to go take my smartphone. If you don't get out of here really fast, you're going to die. Get out. Forget about all the narishkeit you have in the house. Get out with your life. So, in the beginning of the day, we got plenty of time. We blame Shalom, give us life. Forgive us generally. And also the details, Al-Khait. When the day is coming to the end, the whole focus of Ni'ilah is, let's just survive. We can't have such great expectations at this moment in time. At this moment in time, we're very desperate. It's not Derech Eretz now. In the ninth, the 11th hour, the very last moment, to go through all the nitty gritty details. You had a whole day for that. You had a whole El for that. You had a whole year for that. Now, it's crunch time. Let's just survive. And the Mela, the focus of Meila is Vati Tein Lanu Hashem Elokeinu Be'ahava Yom HaKippur Hazeh L'Mechila V'L'Slicha U'L'Chapara Tafasta Meruba Loi Tafasta Tafasta Mua Tafasta. We focus only on Ashamnu, that's it. Al-Chait, if we're really believers and appreciate that the Yom HaDin is coming to an end. And this is serious business. And the gates of Shemaim are closing. It's not a time now to ask Hashem to forgive us for the details. It's like if there is a tornado coming and it's going to rip apart the entire building and kill everyone inside. Don't go back to get your phone. Because in those few moments you go back to get your phone, a person can die. Just get out with your life. So this is the idea that we're suggesting as to why we skip the Alchitz. We give them three reasons. To review, reason number one is, what do we say reason number one is? Because we don't leave the shul. We don't leave. If you don't leave, I mean, mincha nil is one. We already said it. You don't have to go do it again. Maybe you want to say we're tired, and that Rachman is upon us. Number three, we replace it with these two very beautiful, they're really exquisite, those two paragraphs, this enormous depth in those two. I think it's the nicest part of the whole davening. The whole Yom Kippur, my favorite part of the whole Yom Kippur personally, are those two paragraphs. Those two paragraphs are just out of the ballpark home run paragraphs. They're just unbelievable. And so we replace it. But now we're trying to say a third answer, and this third answer is built upon a very beautiful idea from Rabbi Ashkenazi, who explains that the whole day we say the Nusach, Mechila, Slicha, Kapara, Nochamol, V'lilchobo, Akovan, Esen. We just said that already, Mechila. Ah, there are two dimensions. Mechila Slicha Kapara is general. The Lim Chobah Kavanah Seinu is the Pratim. Mechila Slicha Kapara is a Shamnu. The Lim Chobah is Kol Avonah Seinu. That is the Alchetz. Oh, now we can appreciate that when we don't say the Alchetz, we're not focusing now on the Lim Chobah Kavanah Seinu. We're focusing only on that, the whole essence of Ne'ilah is to let go of the Pratim. Let's focus on the general theme of Yom Kippur, the cloud of forgiveness. Hashem is good with us. Let's not go into the details. That's not for now. Then you already had your chance. That's enough. Let's just go into, are we good? Are we good to go? We're going to live? There's going to be peace? No, the details, all right, listen, we'll work on that another time. Let's just at least guarantee we got in the bag the basics. Now's not a time, you know, for all the, will there be a Viennese table at my child's wedding this year? Well, there won't be a Viennese table. Let's just make sure he gets married. We'll worry about the Viennese table another time. It's a different focus. Okay, with that, we're going to conclude. Thank you for listening, for coming to the share. You do me a tremendous favor by coming to the share, because if not, I wouldn't spend this time in a meaningful way. So I owe you a very big yeshu koyach. Have a gemar chasima toiva guga ben shiar. We have a share tomorrow, and that's it. Tomorrow's the last share. There's no share on Sunday. Monday's Yom Kippur, and the next time will be in Yirtz Hashem Tuesday. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to give the shir the shir at night. We'll see. It's a busy time between Pesach, between I say Yom Kippur and Sukkah. So we'll see. But in the meantime, we'll see. Have a gemar chasima, have a Mr. and Mrs. Glatter. You should have a wonderful year of bracha, excellent health. No more doctors. Get rid of the doctors. Too bad for the government. And all the money that they want to collect.
Zion. Yeah, Zion. Everybody.
What?
God has a different version.
Yeah.
I think they say Mechal Uslach Kaper. They don't say the way we say it.
No, it's all the same. None. You're referring to something else. You're referring to some. There are many parts of the davening. This part is all the same. No, you're referring to something else.
Thank you very much. What I'll say. Okay,
you know. We discussed that. He said three times.
Yeah, but that's different.
They don't say that. What do they
say in between each paragraph?
Hey, I think you have to get that
version. I think it's
Bechal
Tapa
Selach
or something different. Version.
All right, but it's the same idea. It's not a contradiction to anything that we said.
I think you have to think it out.
All right, we have to see. You have to go look into each thing.
Okay.
Zay gesund.
Okay.
A good night. A good Shabbos. Listen to his bladder. Everything should be good.
Who's getting a good brasha? Who's getting a good Shabbos?
I don't know. Beats me.
Where are you going?
I'm actually. I was asked to say not Shabbos, to say a drasha, to say a Dvar Torah between Mincha and Maariv before. You know where? You ever go to this shul? There's a shul. I never was there. There's someone who called me up. They know my parents very well. Lubetsky. What's his first name? Right. How do you know about the shul? You know about the shul?
The shul was there before that. It was a break off from Ralbab.
Yeah? What? So it was a problematic shul?
He was sitting Shiva. I forgot for who.
Who was sitting
my
Shiva?
My sister.
Lubetsky?
Lubetsky.
I don't know. I didn't know. I don't know. I have no idea. All I know, I know that he knew my...
Sitting Shiva a month ago. I'm trying to remember who he was saying. Sitting Shiva. A sister.
So, there was a rabbi. He moved to Lakewood. Who is the rabbi? The rabbi was who?
Bajnon.
Bajnon, correct. Bajnon, correct. Correct. He was the rabbi.
Bajnon was...
He was the rabbi...
It was rabbi in Abishu for a while.
Wait, which shul you which shul?
B'nai Israel, a long time ago.
I mean, that was the one where Rabbi Garfinkel was now the rabbi.
Yeah, Rabbi Garfinkel was now.
Ah, so
but he was a long time ago before that.
Ah.
Rabbi Garfinkel, Rabbi Bashman happened to be friends. They used to teach together. They taught the same school.
Ah.